Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at all of the major astrological transits for the month of April. On Monday of next week, we'll be doing horoscopes with Alex, and I will be coming back off from a little vacation time. I've had some people filling in for me as I've been gone, and I'm really happy that you guys have enjoyed and appreciated their work so much. Certainly it's been, it's a real honor to have so many talented people that have come through Nightlight who, I hope that giving them a little space to share their work is helping give back to the greater astrological community. And I hope to do more of that in the future. So anyway, a big thanks to everyone who's been so kind and welcoming to our guests over the past couple of weeks of programming. Really appreciate it. Anyway, today, the major astrological transits of April. And before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments and reflections. And if you'd like, there is a transcript of all of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. There are two things that I am in the midst of promoting right now. As we are rounding the corner into spring enrollment season, I want to point you over to the Nightlight website to a few things that are going on. Of course, if you go to the live events page and the live talks tab, you can see that the Talk Uranus in Love is on April 18th. That's coming up. If you missed the March and February talks on Pluto and Neptune in Love, you can pick those up. But you might want to register now for the Uranus in Love talk on April 18th. And if you can't make it live, you can always receive the recording link afterward. And then the other thing is go to First Year Course, and you will see that the new program, our first year program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, begins on June 16th. So we are now officially in spring enrollment program. The early bird payment plan is in effect. You can use a 12-monthly payment plan or tuition assistance. So apply now. That's all open now for enrollment. And if you need any help with the program at all, remember, we do have need-based tuition. You can apply for that. We like to make sure that nobody's priced out of studying astrology. I'll be talking more about the program in the weeks to come. The other thing that I'm in the midst of promoting, of course, is Ashley's program, which starts at the end of April. And that you can find on her website, which is skyhouseherbs.com. If you click on the courses page, go to the Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship. Scroll down, you can learn more about it. It starts on April 24th. She also has need-based tuition. If you want to study herbal medicine from an energetic, spiritual point of view, but also getting a strong background in the science and things like phytochemistry and all that good stuff, she has a really good blend of both paradigms. So anyway, I think you guys will like that. And if you stick around at the end of today's program, you know that I have been sharing an interview with Ashley about her programs. So after today's content is finished, stick around if you want to learn more about Ashley and her work and the upcoming program. You can also find her on YouTube at Skyhouse Herbs if you want to follow her weekly herbal medicine content. So I've been really happy to help support her program, as she's always supported mine over the years. We've been working together as partners. We owned a yoga studio for a long time. We've been teaching herbs and astrology together for going on like 14 years. So yeah, it's cool to see how that work has been evolving, and it's great to see her program back in action. Okay, so on that note, we have a ton of transits in the month ahead to get after, and I'm going to go ahead and put them up one at a time while I also put up the real-time clock and walk you through all of them. And here we go. Let me get my epic pen out. We'll see what kind of mood the epic pen is in today. Let's start on April 1st. We're going to walk through the transits of the month, and I do not give in-depth analysis. I do sort of brief coverage, because what I'm really doing in this video is setting us up and giving us a sneak preview for what we're going to be speaking about throughout the month ahead. So these are the transits we will be covering in one way or another throughout the month of April on my regular content. Let's start on April 1st with Mercury stationing and turning retrograde in Aries. If you guys missed it, Alex Amorosi was a guest and did a great talk on Mercury's upcoming retrograde through Aries. He actually spent some time talking about the presence of Chiron in the midst of Mercury's retrograde, which is a really interesting angle. If you go back and listen to that talk, I think you'll really enjoy it. But certainly, Mercury turning retrograde in Aries is an interesting signature, because we have the solar eclipse coming up this month in Aries, which really presses the gas pedal. It's a accelerant. It's like saying, let's throw a very fast, hot burning fuel onto a fire. And so Aries is inceptional, likes to start things. Mercury retrograde is a bit revisionary. So I wonder if there's a bit of a process of revision or rethinking of something as we're in the process of also launching it or pushing something forward. Or almost like, as you're in the process of launching a business, isn't it always happen that there's quite a few like unexpected revisions you have to make to the website or, launching new things and having a Mercury retrograde present at the same time suggests that we should at very least expect that we might have to be patient and do a little bit of revising and careful maneuvering as we are also sort of slamming on the gas pedal. That's the way that I would put it. We're going to be looking at that, of course. Now, April 3rd, just a couple of days later, we see Venus conjoining Neptune, and you will have content from me on that next week. The Venus-Neptune contact is very romantic. It's otherworldly. It's sensual. Of course, anytime Venus, exalted Venus and Neptune get together, you have the potential for this sort of idealistic, dissociated romanticism. But, sometimes that's exactly what we need. We need to just leave the world for a minute. But I like this as artistic, imaginative, sensual, elevating the goddess into the sort of ethereal, otherworldly realm of Neptune. So that's April 3rd. We're going to be talking about that one next week. Right after that, on April 4th, Venus will then enter Aries. I'm going to push it forward one more day. So Venus entering Aries is interesting because this follows suit in terms of there being this huge sort of conflagration of fiery energy in Aries that's coming forth, including the upcoming solar eclipse, which we'll talk about in a minute. Venus is technically in her exile in the sign of Aries because Venus is in a Mars-ruled sign. So she is dealing with or working with the tension of the Venus-Mars opposition that is natural throughout the zodiac from Taurus to Scorpio and Libra to Aries. This doesn't make for a bad Venus, but it makes for a Venus that's a little bit more assertive or aggressive. I think of this as the warrior goddess placement for Venus. And so, jealousy, competition, the kind of competitive style of Venus might be on display for better or worse, but also the empowerment of the feminine qualities of Venus, which can be really nice, a way of becoming bolder and more empowered in relationships, more direct and assertive, while not tipping the scales so badly that we lose diplomatic, kind of a diplomatic sensibility. So these are interesting things to watch for as Venus enters Aries. On April 6th, just a day later, Venus will make a sextile with Pluto in Aquarius. And that's interesting, especially because now we have just this little, it's a very spicy entrance. Like right as Venus gets into Aries, it's pretty spicy. She's entering her exile. It's a fire sign. She immediately sextiles Pluto. But the sextile to Pluto, I feel like this is pretty constructive. So maybe a spicy Venus to start her entrance into Aries, but nothing that, to me looks like, oh, watch out. This is really going to be tough for, Venusian significations like love or sex or relationships or beauty, art, women, friends. All of the Venusian subjects, they may get some kind of like a bump. Venus might be put in the spotlight, might be a little intense, but I think constructive and harmonious with Pluto there. Now we go forward to April 8th, and this is one of the two major events of the month of April, which is the solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. North Node solar eclipses in the sign of Aries. I mean, come on, this is all about starting things. The Aries energy is really about the moment in the solar story, symbolic solar story. This does not have to do with where you literally live in which hemisphere. But it's about the symbolic story of the moment when light takes over from darkness. And of course, we have the sun exalted in the sign of Aries. And this is the home sign of Mars, the conquering hero, right? So one of the things that happens is we get momentum or we get strength to overcome something or to be heroic or to stand up or assert ourselves or to individuate in some strong way or to stake our claim or have some kind of greater freedom. These are all Aries themes that could be amplified by this eclipse, but also the theme of inceptions, of starting something. Spring is the beginning of the light half of the year. And so the dawning or birthing of something new And a north node eclipse likes to push into uncharted territory, likes to do new things that haven't been done before. So there's a strong emphasis on like a new bold Aryan push. It is interesting that at the exact same time, on April 10th, let's move it forward just 2 days, the ruler of the eclipse, Mars, will be conjoining Saturn in Pisces. This makes me feel like because the ruler is in a double-bodied water sign that's feminine and that exalts Venus and that Venus is in Mars's sign, this is, although the Aries eclipse feels very masculine and fiery and Mars-like, there's actually a kind of exchange between Mars and Venus's exaltation and Venus and Mars's sign, and also the kind of maturity and depth and wisdom of Saturn at its best that are coming together here to say, look, if you're going too fast, then this is sort of a macho, you know, in overly individualistic, egotistical drive to do something new, you're going to have some problems. You're going to face some complexities or some challenges or obstacles or frustrations that will maybe thwart your will, especially if you're not being sensitive enough, if you're not being intuitive and emotionally intelligent. Mars and Saturn and Pisces are a little bit of a check saying, look, whatever direction you want to move forward with, you can do so, but there's some way in which we're being asked to, you know, just become wiser, more mature, not leave behind the feminine or the emotional sensitivities or the relational diplomacy. And that's not always easy for Aries in general or for Mars, but here Mars is with Saturn, looking at a kind of emotional maturity and emotional centered use of the will that is focused and wise, not so impulsive. And that might come about because we have to deal with frustrations that are sort of getting in the way of this cardinal push that we're feeling. That's April 10th. April 11th, Mercury is Kazemi in Aries. I think this is interesting because following on the same theme of wisdom, Mercury's Kazemi at the heart of the sun, right, ruled by Mars, who's just separating from Saturn, feels like a moment of growing wiser. Not working harder, working smarter. Have you guys ever heard that before? You could add to that, not working harder, but or faster or stronger, but working with more emotional tact. That would be a good one for this Mercury Kazemi that is ruled by the Mars-Saturn conjunction that's just separating. But it's a moment of refining the power and sort of electricity of the Aries energy with greater emotional subtlety, depth, relational nuance, feminine care. Anyway, we move on a little bit later in the month now. We have a little bit of a lull, and then we get to the 19th, and Mercury retrograde will conjoin Venus in Aries. And they'll both do so right around Chiron in the North Node, which Alex covered in his talk. I thought that was fascinating. And if you want to hear more about that piece of it, go back and listen to that video that he did on Mercury and Chiron. But here we have a nice conjunction between Mercury and Venus right around the North Node. This feels harmonizing to me. And of course, we are just about at the time of Jupiter's conjunction with Uranus, which is in Venus's sign and is serving as this very electric breakthrough. So I like the idea that whatever Aries is initiating, we might see that we have to press the brake pedal a little bit, or that we have to do some refining, revising, reconsidering with the tact and emotional sensitivity is needed. but then on April 19th, the Venus-Mercury conjunction through the retrograde around the North Node feels to me like progress. It feels to me like finding some kind of middle path, a temperance, or an artful, careful, and bold and assertive quality of mind and will and emotion that can carry us in the direction we want to go. But it's just, there's just something about this Aries energy that, as much as it wants to blast off, it is being forced to refine, mature, and be careful and thoughtful with others around itself, so to speak. Okay, on the 19th, Mars in Pisces will sextile Jupiter in Taurus. To me, this is like another sign that we are moving into a moment of tremendous synthesis, because Mars is adding like heat and intensity, but it's doing so from a very sensitive, subtle place, a feminine place. And it's sextile, which is a harmonious aspect to Jupiter and Uranus, who are about to conjoin and create the blast off of 2024. And that's what's next. On the 20th, then we get Jupiter and Uranus conjoining in the sign of Taurus. We'll be talking about this at length throughout the month. Several videos that I've got planned for this one. But yeah, this is everything that we've been excited for in this year, that we really, the whole first half of the year in some ways has been about the story of Venus and Venus being so empowered behind so many different dynamics in the sky, all moving toward this moment of great expansion, revolution, and breakthroughs that Jupiter Uranus bring about. It's always unexpected, exactly the way that they play out too. So we're going to talk a lot about, you know, how do you deal with a transit whose nature is sort of expect the unexpected? You know, that's a thing that we don't talk about enough with Uranus. So we'll come around to that as the month goes on. On the 21st, just after, as if that transit isn't strong enough, the sun in Taurus will square Pluto in Aquarius. And to me, this suggests that there is just a very powerful surge of creative energy that's kind of welling up from the unconscious. And it's very exciting. I mean, this is like, to me, this is about a bold, powerful eruption of unconscious energy that is moving us in a new direction. So very exciting. And a lot of it is like garden planning. It's like, I keep thinking of the image of, you know, Aquarius as the Platonic realm of the forms, the archetypes, the thoughts in the mind of God. There's that lofty Olympian feeling. And Taurus is right in the Garden of Earth. It's like the Nine of Pentacles in the tarot. So I think of those two together, along with Jupiter Uranus, which bears some similar, a similar combination of qualities. And I think of it as like, yeah, we are really concerned with breakthroughs and development that have a very earthy impact, that are connected to the realm of beauty, desire, and the body. That's it. But then on April 23rd, this is really interesting. So then on April 23rd, we get a full moon in Scorpio. And this is really, really important, because that full moon in Scorpio will T-square. It comes right off from the sun square Pluto, right? So it's a major full moon event, in the sense that it is just, it's a very, very electric. And it's close enough to the node where, you know, it's like in some instances, you'll see that proximity to the node creating even a tiny partial bit of an eclipse. And that almost is reminiscent of last year's spring Scorpio lunar eclipse, if you guys remember that, from 2023. A little bit of an echo of that. But regardless, we are seeing just this powerful force. The Scorpio full moon here will sort of check and make us look at any shadows that the Taurian and Aquarian idealism contains. It'll make us look at stuff that's lurking beneath the surface if we need to, and may act as a moment of tremendous catharsis. And then April 25th, Mercury turns direct in Aries. So we're kind of finishing up a process there. So we have that. And then on the 28th, I like this one a lot. Mars-Neptune conjunctions. You guys have heard me talk about them at length in previous videos over the years. But Mars-Neptune, kind of the crusader, the missionary, the Joan of Arc quality. I think it's tremendous that this idealistic fervor, such emotional, theatrical, romantic sort of crusading quality, is coming in right on the heels of Jupiter and Uranus, right on the heels of Sun Pluto and the full moon in Scorpio. It's like, yeah, there is something that we're going to be feeling. This is a transit where you can see there's something we're going to be feeling really emotionally driven by or toward something that we feel is of great transcendental value. It has the kind of holy war feeling behind it. Anyway, we'll talk more about that as well. April 29th, Venus enters Taurus, where she is in her own home sign again, very dignified and under the beams of the sun, but protected in her own chariot. And now Venus, the host of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, is in her home sign. The next new moon will be a new moon in Taurus. It's a very powerful new moon. If you move this forward just a little bit, it's in May. But here we have that kind of right between the 7th and the 8th of May. This is a, you know, power-packed Taurus new moon chart. Anyway, we'll more on that later. But it's interesting just to see that Venus is getting back into her own dignity. So if Venus has been sort of spicy, you'll see her enter into kind of earthly, stable Taurus, change her mood a little bit around April 29th. April 30th, Mars enters Aries, as if to say, not so fast. You want peace, and I'm here to press the gas pedal down a little harder. And that's cool. We've got the Mars and Aries dynamics, a very powerful placement for Aries. We're going to be starting to enact a lot of the themes of the solar eclipse. You'll find that as soon as Mars enters, we're off to the races. Mercury's now direct. We're not revising, editing, or becoming wiser or more mature before taking off. Now it's sort of takeoff. And that's pretty common that you don't see the blast off right on the day of an eclipse. Sometimes it takes a little doing. This is, you know, 3-4 weeks out from the eclipse on April 8th. But then we see by that time, again, Mercury is direct. Mars has entered Aries. Venus is in a more stable place. Jupiter, Uranus is still separating within 3 degrees. I think you're going to find that there's a little bit of a delayed blast off with the Aries eclipse. And it wouldn't surprise me if it happened when Mars enters Aries at the end of the month. All right. So, and then finally, on April 30th, at the end of the month, it's also pretty spicy with Venus. Even though she's in Taurus, she's more stable. The first thing she does is squares Pluto. So yeah, there's this real, Venus, again, in Taurus square Pluto in Aquarius, to me is very, it's a very idealistic combination. And there's like a gathering of Venusian architects or something. And, but there's maybe some shadows that we have to look at, some material from the unconscious that's coming up with Venus square Pluto. And then again, at the exact same time, Mars is entering Aries. And there, so there's a little bit of an intense moment right at the end of the month with those two transits. And we'll be looking at those things together as well at the end of the month. All right. Well, we have gotten through a little preview of all of the major transits of the month. I hope you found this useful. Stick around after I sign off. There's an interview that I did with Ashley about her plant spirit medicine program, which is about a year long. And it starts at the end of April. We have need-based tuition available for that program, like we do all of our programs. And you can learn more about it after I sign off. I hope you guys are having a good day. You'll have a great weekend, and we will see you for horoscopes on Monday with Alex Amorosi. All right, take it easy, everyone. Bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. I'm really happy to be joined by my wife, Ashley, who is an herbalist. Hi, Ashley.
Hey.
And yeah, I'm really excited to be helping Ashley promote her upcoming program, which is something that you actually began teaching many years ago, this herbal apprenticeship program. I think it was, 2011 or 12 that it got started, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been over 10 years I've been offering this course. And yeah, it's my favorite thing to teach.
Yeah. And just to be clear, because some people on my channel, most people know you because you pop on here or there. We talk about herbs and astrology. There's an attraction in our marriage and an attraction in the subject matter that is old. Like, we've been together for, 14 years in our relationship going on. And we've always had a fascination with each other's areas of expertise. And we've done lots of things to marry them together over the years, in addition to literally getting married. And and actually, herbalists and astrologers have married the subjects of herbs and planets together for thousands of years as well. Now, your program is focused on herbalism. It's not an astrology course, but there is certainly a lot of overlap in terms of the energetics and the spiritual approach to herbalism that you take. And so I was hoping that we could start off just by telling people a little bit about the program. You're coming to this after taking a little bit of time on maternity leave. Our kids were not yet in school. Now they are. You're coming back to work. This is really exciting. The new program launches at the end of April. I'm going to put it up on the screen so people can see it. You can find it at skyhouseherbs.com. Enrollment is open now. The course begins. You go under Courses, Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship at the end of April. Tell us about it.
Well, this course, I guess my goal in redesigning the apprenticeship course that I've been teaching for 10 years is to make it even more personal and to allow people to study the material, digest it at their own pace. So what it's going to be is a combination of kind of three main parts. The first one is the recorded material. So there's going to be modules that will be released and people can listen to them as they, as they have time. The second part are live classes where we will meet live on Zoom and talk about the module, I'll answer questions, I'll give even more information about it. And then the third part is the sacred plant pairings. And so I've always taught the herbal portion, like the plant diets, one at a time, but this year I'm going to do it in pairs because I think you can learn a lot by comparing and contrasting herbs. So for every module, you'll have two herbs to study and you'll get a little cheat sheet about them before you start the module. And then you'll have an opportunity to work with those two plants and blend them and keep them separate and just really work with them closely. Because my goal is that I want people to be able to find information that they can really use in their own lives, maybe with clients, whether they have a professional herbal practice or maybe they're a therapist in a different field, that they'll know these plants so that they can work with them really comfortably.
I love the different modules that you have just so we can preview them for people. Module one is Vitalism and the Heart of Herbalism. Module two, Building Your Home Apothecary. They're so diverse. I love module three is my favorite, Plant Spirit Medicine, Energetics and Chemistry. You have such a holistic approach. It's what I've always loved about your teaching. You'll teach about the doctrine of signatures. You'll talk to people about how to communicate with plants, how to think of them as teachers that are living beings, that have personalities that aren't just, you know, phytochemistry or whatever. But you will also teach phytochemistry. And I think that you have this really well-rounded way of helping people be intelligent about the plants, about the body, about the systems of the body, but also not afraid to use energetic systems, not afraid to take something from the kinds of energetics that ancient mystics were working with, whether that's the elements or whether that's, you know, some of the overlay with things like Ayurveda, Chinese medicine. You take what's useful on a symbolic and energetic plane and on a personal connection level with the plants, and you marry it to really smart scientific research. I think that that's rare. You don't see that a lot.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, to me, it's all language. They're just different languages that we talk about the same thing. And I think the more diverse our languages as herbalists, the more we can reach more people. And that's kind of my goal. Like, I want everyone to like be able to identify plants, use plants. So we need to diversify the languages we speak so we can talk with our physicians, so we can talk with a therapist, we can talk with a mystic, right? We can talk with children. And we have a language that everyone can use.
You talk in the program, in your modules, you have stuff on digestive and gut health. You have stuff on detoxification, colds and flus, and, you know, dealing with virus seasons. You talk about tissue states, and you're talking about how to give things to your kids for, you know, helping them maybe at times even relax before bed at night. We use a lot of different things with our kids. I love this, that you have called this a... I'm going to find the phrase where you use that you use, and I'm going to mess it up. A community herbalist. What is a community herbalist, so that people can understand that definition? Because sometimes people might look at a course like this and think, gosh, unless I go to, an accredited university for, you know, 8 years and learn all about chemistry, I have no right or business suggesting herbs to people or using herbs. That's just not true. And that's not the history of how folk herbal medicine has been used or taught. So what do you mean when you say community herbalist?
I think you said it perfectly. This is the people's medicine, and our grandmothers and great grandparents used plants as medicine. There's nothing actually that like hard about the practice of herbal medicine. It's just getting to know the plants and getting to know the times when they're most useful. I really envision that this course, people can take it and yes, use it for themselves. Number one, because I think a lot changes when we have the personal experience, and then using it in your family, whether that's just, you know, maybe making a tea for your dog, or, you know, if you have kids, or maybe you just have a partner, maybe you have plants you can use, and we'll talk about taking care of a garden, but using it for yourself, for whoever's immediately around you, and then taking it beyond that, because it's likely that at some point, you're going to be talking with someone. They're going to say, oh, you know, I've got this digestion thing and I've tried this and this. And they might say, hey, you're studying herbs. Is there anything that you would recommend? And you know what? You'll probably have a few ideas. And that, you know, you never know how one way that you help someone out there in the world might trickle and then help others and more people. So I think through the self-knowledge and studying this knowledge in your own body, it'll naturally, it's like, you know, impossible for it not to spread out and start to affect the broader community.
Yeah, I think that's really important. This is also for that reason, because we have a vision. I mean, you guys know through my Kickstarter, you guys helped us build a community herbal medicine garden that Ashley's been hosting free and donation-based events out of, that the donations go back to right back into the garden and just growing the medicine that we then find ways of harvesting and giving to other people or letting other people come and harvest. We have a vision. We always have, back to the days when we had our yoga studio in Maryland. We have always had a vision of making this sacred knowledge accessible to people. And that is both there in this program in terms of the way you're framing what it means to be an herbalist. It might mean that you're a professional and you see clients and you could continue beyond this program developing the skills to do that. This would certainly set you up for success. You could also go forward and be someone who uses what you know with friends and family. And yourself. And that's an incredible set of tools to have. The program's also very accessible from both a programming standpoint and a price standpoint. I'll take you back over and show everybody. The programs, the modules are pre-recorded, but then you meet outside of the modules for discussion, community, Q&A, and sort of development and integration. So people can attend those live. If they miss those integration sessions, they can also watch the replays of those. So
absolutely, yeah.
Anyone could take this at their own rate, you know, as slowly or as quickly as you wanted to really soak it in, or blaze through it. And, you know, and then we can certainly, beyond this program, as Ashley perhaps makes more advanced programs available as she's easing back in out of maternity leave, can help you with further development or recommend you to many other wonderful programs where you can continue your studies. We want this to be accessible. We want community herbalism to be, you know, as simple as being able to show a friend a couple of yoga stretches. We should be able to show each other herbs, you know, and just, hey, this is a helpful herb to use. Also, accessibility price-wise, we have an early bird enrollment and we have a standard enrollment. And then we have tuition level one assistance and tuition assistance level two, which break out the affordable tuition into different levels of affordability. And you can kind of identify where you're at if you're someone who wants to take this program, but needs to work within your means and not hurt yourself doing it. And then for those who can pay, we ask that you use standard or early bird enrollment. And that's the same thing I do for all my astrology programs. So we try to keep it super, super accessible. The Herbal Apprenticeship Program starts April 24th. I know Ashley's super excited to be getting back into teaching too. I also would like to offer Ashley just a chance to tell everyone a little bit about, before we end here this interview, tell everyone maybe a little bit about your own background, who you studied with, what your influences are, and just anything else you want to say before we cap it off.
Ooh, okay. well, I think, you know, I started off as a kid playing in the woods, mixing perfumes and potions. And then I went on to study environmental science, where I studied organic chemistry and restoring native wetlands. And really from an environmental perspective, that's how I got into herbalism. And then after, you know, I realized after working on the restoration piece and joining a lot of earth advocacy groups, that the problem's not with the earth, but with the people not mm-hmm. understanding the value of the earth. So then I started going into holistic medicine. I graduated from University of North Carolina, Asheville, with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. And I went on to get my, that was my undergrad. And then I got my master's from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. It was then called Thai Sophia. But my teachers there, you know, I had such a great blend of teachers, really scientific minds, like Simon Mills from the UK and Kevin Spellman, who is like a chemistry genius. He's also an Ayurvedic practitioner, studied with Dr. Vasant Lad. Matthew Prisco, medicine maker from Galen's Way out in California. So I had a really wonderful, diverse variety of teachers in that 3-year full-time master's level program. And then after that, I went on to study with Matthew Wood pretty intensively because I liked his energetics. I liked the way he spoke about the plants and his personal experience working with low dose, drop dose medicine. And he has had amazing, he's done such amazing work herbally with just using that method. And I've got a lot of herbalists in my basket.
David Duke comes to mind.
Margie Flint, Rosemary Gladstar is like, I've only done one herb walk with her, but it was amazing. So, I have shelves of herbal books and people who I just adore. Yeah. And yeah, I just feel really grateful that I've had that blend of the science and the energetic herbalism and the traditional herbalist perspective as well. And I try my best to blend them together and to give everyone a really diverse yet integrated herbal studying experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that. That is exactly what you'll get if you sign up for Ashley's program, which I encourage you to do. If this is the kind of thing that interests you, you won't regret it. It's a fantastic course with someone I absolutely love, obviously, but also like a really, truly fantastic human being and teacher of plant medicine. And if you want to learn more about her, see her work, get to know her a little bit, check out her YouTube channel, Sky House Herbs, where she publishes weekly on plant medicine, plant energetics, and also on Instagram, which is Sky House Herbs. So the apprenticeship program starts April 24th. I wanted to get Ashley on, brag about her program, turn you guys on to it. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure that we're going to see some people from the Nightlight astrology world getting introduced to you and all of your magic.
I would love that. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, everyone.